They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
October's jobs report, not too hot, not too cold, but I wouldn't say just right either.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll dissect this morning's jobs report. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are, actually, they were up, now they're down. They're down 91 points on the Dow at 0.7% lower at 11,952. NASDAQ down 0.6%, S&P 500 down 0.7%, and we are lower across Europe as well. Former New Jersey governor and former Goldman Sachs head John Corzine is now also former CEO of MF Global. The company, which went bankrupt this week because of exposure to European debt, announced Corzine's resignation this morning and said he will not be getting any severance. Meanwhile, the big news, the U.S. government says the economy added 80,000 jobs last month. That was the fewest in 4 months. And the unemployment rate improved to 9%. That's down from 9.1%. And we've now got some reaction from Gus Fauché, chief of macroeconomics with Moody's Analytics. He's with us live. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Gus, what does this report tell you about the job market at this point?
The report tells us that the job market is good but not great. October number was a little bit weak, but on the other hand, we had large upward revisions to August and September. So we're not at any risk of a double dip recession right now. I think this reduces the likelihood of that.
Now, we know that there are two groups that are particularly vulnerable in this economy, workers that are sort of nearing retirement and those younger workers just out of college, both having a hard time getting or holding on to employment. Which do you think is in worse shape right now?
Well, I think right now the group that's in worse shape is the older workers. A lot of them have had to take retirement earlier than they were expecting, and so that's going to be a hit to their incomes. But I think over the longer run, it's going to be the younger workers who face the biggest damage from the weak recovery. Research has shown that the starting salary is an important determinant of your lifetime earnings. So these young people who are just coming out of school, getting their first job, they're going to take that at a lower salary, and that's going to carry with them throughout their careers, and that's going to be a big drag on their earnings over their lifetime.
Gus Fauché of Moody's Analytics, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, those young workers that Gus was talking about may end up in the famous 99%. Of course, that phrase has become more commonplace ever since the original Occupy Wall Street protest, the one in Zuccotti Park in Manhattan, started 7 weeks ago. So if they're in the 99%, then who exactly are in the 1%? For answers, let's bring in Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So who are the top 1%?
Well, the top 1%, they make more than $368,000, nearing $400,000 a year, tend to be middle-aged and older. They're married, well-educated, nearly all white. Hmm. I was surprised. Not very many immigrants in there. And then they're concentrated in certain occupations. You have your CEOs and senior executives, finance. Obviously, that's a big area.
Yep.
Doctors, lawyers, and I would also say media, entertainment, sports.
And is that group the same group that you would have found in the top 1% several decades ago, for instance?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think there's been a big change. If we go into the past, and particularly once we start breaking down the top 1% and you go toward the really wealthy, you know, in the past it was the rentier class. Let's think about Edith Wharton novels. Today, it's much more the working rich, the people who have founded a company, say, in the information technology business, or, more likely, run a hedge fund.
Now, one of the arguments that we keep hearing out of Republicans, especially in Washington, is that it's not a problem that we have these people at the top, that as long as more and more people are getting richer and richer, that's great. That's the way it should be.
Well, the problem is twofold. One is the rich keep getting richer. And, you know, the top 1%, measured by income, you know, they captured slightly more than half of overall economic growth from the period 1993 to 2008. So it feeds a sense that this economy is increasingly unfair. But the real point is about equality of opportunity. As the rich get richer, that means there's less opportunity for those who don't belong to that class. And I said, you know, that we had the change toward the working rich. We may be creating a society where the rich are simply people that clip coupons, you know, pocket their dividend payments.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Chris, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. By Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted email. Reputation.com.
Starbucks stock is up more than 5% this morning after the company announced its profits were up 29% last quarter. Starbucks is benefiting from sales overseas, but the company is betting future growth not on ventis or grandes, but on a tiny little cup about the same size as an espresso. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
More coffee drinkers are brewing a single cup instead of a whole pot. To do it, they use special machines that use a plastic pod with the coffee sealed inside. It's a K-cup, and it's a business worth $4 billion a year right now. It's the fastest growing thing in the coffee market. One company, Green Mountain Coffee, has had a virtual monopoly on that market. It partnered with Starbucks earlier this year. This month, Starbucks has its coffee inside those little plastic K-cups for the first time. Bill Chappell is an analyst at SunTrust Robertson Humphrey. He says that will help Starbucks get more people drinking its coffee at home and at a higher price point per cup.
If you sell a bag of coffee, it typically runs you about 6 to 10 cents per cup of coffee. These K-cups, for Starbucks, will be selling them somewhere between 75 and 85 cents per K-cup.
Starbucks' consumer products division says K-cups can earn the company $1 billion eventually. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, to an interesting prediction about the stock market from a new book called Bulls, Bears, and a Croupier. It says that based on recent history, the Dow, which is currently around 12,000, will reach 100,000 in the next 20 years. Reminds me of a friend who bought shares of a medication company only to watch them plummet in value. And when I asked him about it, he said, "Don't worry, in 20 years, they'll be right where I want them." In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. It's APM, American Public Media.
Big banks are backing off those debit card fees, but is it too late to make a difference?
We've heard from credit unions from all across the country that they've seen an increase in business. We've heard anywhere from double their normal new account volume to five times as much.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Bank transfer day is coming up, you know. That story next time on Marketplace. The numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.